When I walked into the classroom, William's kindergarten teachers each smiled reflexively, as if I were a surprise guest who'd shown up at their party. They sat at a round, orange, child-sized table. I sat down across from them like an oversized child in my tiny wooden chair, knees pressed up against the tabletop. It was near Thanksgiving. As I scanned the room, each child's self-portrait stared back at me. William's teacher, Julie, was cordial, but her boundaries were firm, bordering on rigid. She wanted parents to wait outside of the classroom in the lobby at pickup time. She didn't like interruptions. Julie and her Uncle Mark ran the preschool kindergarten Montessori program that William had attended for several years. Mindy, the teaching assistant, had a round, youthful face and was quick to smile, mostly with her eyes. At conferences, it was standard for all three teachers to meet with parents. Still, it felt intimidating. That afternoon, Julie sifted through her papers, straight-faced. Her dark brown hair was pulled back into a tight ponytail, revealing simple gold hoop earrings. Right before Julie spoke, she forced a smile. "We're glad you're here today," she said, taking a quick sip of coffee. "Before we get started, do you have any questions for us about William?" I had questions, but I couldn't think of them. Why wasn't Julie commenting on the weather like usual? Since moving to Minnesota, I'd learned to appreciate weather talk. In the beginning, I thought it got in the way of real conversations. My eyes glazed over when neighbors spoke of northwest winds, precipitation, and snow flurries. But at work, I'd witnessed others use weather talk to glean information about parents' personalities, coping styles, and stress levels. If children and families were wound up, my colleagues spent more time on the weather. I'd adopted this strategy at work as a pediatric neuropsychologist, too. On this particular afternoon, even though it was deathly cold outside, I knew William's teachers and I were not going to chat about the wind chill factor or black ice. I resented their strained faces, stirring up emotions I wasn't prepared for. "I don't really have any questions. Is everything okay? You all look like someone just died," I said, shifting in my seat. "We didn't mean to come across like that, but we have some concerns about William," Julie answered, restacking her paperwork. Her words resonated in my head as three worried faces stared back at me. I realized that I was about to be confronted head-on with news that my son's quirkiness might be something more serious.